Well, I'm just a substitute today, and we congratulate the Hoffman family. And brother, there are so many will call you pastor, but there's only four people in this world that have a higher title for you to call you daddy. For them, it's an exciting day. And for me, it's an exciting day as well to stand here in front of you, because it was 50 years ago that I stepped into the pulpit. It's my 50th anniversary. Well, I stepped into the pulpit. What pulpit? I was an auto mechanic, and although I still kept all my tools. And well, when I packed up my Volkswagen and drove to Calgary, to Forest Lawn, and we had our service in a community hall. And in the community hall on Wednesday was a big sign outside, bingo. So on Sunday morning, we swept out the cigarette butts and put the beer bottles aside, and it was a holy place. Friends, we sometimes invite the Lord Jesus to come into our midst. When you are here, you brought him along. When he is in your heart and you are here, the Lord Jesus is here. Do you believe that? We already heard at our prayer meeting about Tibet. I was not quite in Tibet, but I saw it from the mountain and the earthquake. And yes, we need to pray. And when the help goes out, it's always Canada that is on the front line to provide help. And help is on the way. But also we had an email about Iraq. The killing to the children is very systematic. And we heard some time ago that the ISIS, they surrounded the school of 120 children, and they systematically, in the presence, they killed one after another, so the other children were watching on. And it took them 9 hours to kill all 120. Very brutal. And we get off and on letters about the ministry in Russia. And some are still imprisoned in that country. Help, help, help is called from every corners of this world. This is why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we read, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." The question is, are we here this morning as needy people? What is the need for us this morning? And where do we turn to? There are physical needs. And usually we have a prayer list with the physical needs that we pray for Sunday morning. On Tuesday when we meet for Bible study, we have a seasonal prayer to pray for the needs of the physical needs. And we do have also emotional needs. And off and on we hear when there is unrest in the schools and even shooting, the first thing that is being done, psychiatrists and psychologists are sent to the parents and to the schools and to the children to comfort them. We do also have spiritual needs, folks. And sometimes we might even deny it that we do. And so many we find here and there, and even people in younger years have gone to church, maybe to Sunday school, have in later years turned to all kinds of different religions. When I was a pastor in Prince Rupert, I traveled by train to Winnipeg to visit my folks. And here was a family. They all spoke German, so I spoke to them. At one time, they were Lutheran people, but they turned to transcendental meditation. Folks are seeking help, spiritual help, in many different places in our days. So I want to turn our attention to Psalm 121, and even our daily bread for April, May. It has on the front Psalm 121. I would highly recommend to everyone to read the daily bread. We do that for many, many years at our breakfast table. Verses 1 and 2 speak of our help that is sought. We're seeking help. Verses 3 to 8 speak of help that is provided. And many different translations that you have in front of you might have a question mark in the second sentence. But I like the way Martin Luther has translated it, and I'll give it to you in English, even though he translated it into German. But this is the way Martin Luther has translated. It's all one sentence. I lift up my eyes to the mountains where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My help comes from the mountains, and that is in the plural tense. May I suggest this morning four mountains? And the Rocky Mountains are not included. We have traveled from here for many times to the Rocky Mountains. We have counted the tunnels going to Victoria. Our daughter was living there. And then from Calgary, we have traveled here for 15 years through the mountains, high and low. But when the psalmist is saying, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, from what position do you lift up your eyes? In Psalm 23, verse 4, you know that verse, even though I walk, in the valley. Even though when I walk in a valley of death, I fear no evil. And from there I lift up my eyes to the hills. Maybe this morning this is where you are. Lifting up your eyes, but you find yourself in a valley, but you're trotting along. And God the Almighty came down to some mountains. And I want to consider with you this morning four mountains where God the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, has revealed His love and His presence on these mountains. And first of all, I'd like to draw your attention to Mount Zion. And we read in Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 7, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell to the house of Israel. Four things. First of all, God is telling from the mountain, Moses, when you go down, you tell the people, you have seen what I have done in Egypt. And folks, when we turn on the TV, we see what is happening in the world today. Most of the things that happened in Egypt were natural disasters. The hail, the wind, the water. And all of the natural disasters as they're happening in our days, folks. The earthquakes, the floods. Should that not really fill our heart with gratitude that we're spared? Moses, tell the people and be aware what I have done elsewhere, what is happening, but you have been spared. Secondly, tell the people I carried you on eagle's wings. Every time there is a funeral, you get a little card, and in the back it's either Psalm 23 or there is the footprints on the back of these cards. And somebody has written this poem that there were two footprints that Jesus went along, but then halfway there was only one set of footprints. And the one that wrote the poem raised the question, it was a dream, where are the other, where are you? And the Lord answered, those were my footprints. I carried you on eagle's wings. Has there been times in your life, brother and sister, that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we might not sit in these pews? And there are different things that happen in my life. And I think of one occasion, we attended camp in Kelowna. And it was just about lunchtime, and I was standing under the tree because I had my car parked right there. And my wife was, I waved her to go in, and I'll come in a minute. And a small cloud came up. And just, I thought, maybe I should just check something in the car. And as I went into the car, a thunder like a big cannon hit that tree, and that the dead leaves were just falling down. Many different occasions that I have experienced God's nearness. The third thing that Moses was to tell from the mountain, when you go down, tell him, I brought you to myself. I carried you on eagle's wings that I would bring you to myself. And the question behooves me to ask you this morning, what has God done to bring you to himself? Too many in our testimonies, there is the word I often in it. I have accepted the Lord and I take him into my heart and I. But God said, I have brought you to myself. Sometimes God has different ways and means to bring you to himself. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our life to make, yes, Lord, I want to come. Can you remember a day like that? That God has brought you to himself. This is what God, from the creator of heaven and earth, was to tell the children of Israel. And now, if you will fully keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you shall be my treasured possession. Folks, isn't that great and wonderful today? Of all the people in this world that don't know where to turn, they don't know where the help is coming from, is to tell his people, I want you to be my treasured possession. Has God brought you to himself just for that purpose? That today you can say, yes, I know that he's brought me to himself, that might be that. Now, folks, There are three other mountains that I want to consider. Many, many years later, Jesus came on the scene at the fullness of time, Galatians 4, verse 4. God sent his son. He called 12 apostles, and he walked with them up and down the countryside. And when Crystal and I were in Israel and walked some of those places, what memories came to our mind that Jesus walked there. But one day we read that in the Matthew chapter 17, and I'll read that for us. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus took the 3, while the other 9 were staying at the foot of the mountain, and he was transfigured. What does that mean, to be transfigured? Now, in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the difference between transfigured and transformed? Being transfigured is a change on the outside, whereas being transformed is the change on the inside. And if I may, just to illustrate that from my previous profession as a mechanic, the car that you drive, it all operates on 12 volt, doesn't it? Except the spark. And in the olden days, there was a coil somewhere, and only 12 volt went in, but there was a big wire coming out on the middle. You remember that? And that had 12,000 volts. Now with the computers, that voltage is 17,000. Now you just touch it, you'll find out. Something is happening in that thing that from the outside you don't see it. But something is happening on the inside that gives a spark. The Bible says, now be ye transformed. Let there be a transformer inside of you that, like the Apostle Paul, we cannot help it to not to preach and not to speak. But Jesus was transfigured. He was changed on the outside. He came as a servant to serve. And he put his humanity aside, and they saw the real Jesus in all his glory. Since I still have my coveralls, I said to one lady in our church, she had the car, and I said to her, why don't you come over and I'll fix it for you? Well, she had never seen her pastor in coveralls, but that day she did. But Jesus put his coveralls aside, and his three disciples saw the glory of the Lord Jesus. And Peter writes later to the letter to the suffering saints, we didn't follow fables, but we have seen his glory, his majesty. The Apostle Paul is writing in Ephesians 4, for that reason I bow my knees, that I might apprehend what is the height and the depth and the width and the length of all the grace of God, that I may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that I might know him. Brothers and sisters, that I might know him. Was one brother his that I spoke to, he had studied 6 years to be a dentist. And then he says, Brother Art, why do we need to study all the time? Isn't it enough that we know that we are saved? Why do you need Bible study? The Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. But as we come to one more mountain, and I lift up mine eyes to Mount Calvary, and in Luke 23:33 we read, when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Many hymns were written about that. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Or another hymn writer wrote, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Or another hymn that is in our hymn book is, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Can I ask you, brother, sister, has there been occasions where you felt really the nearness of God? After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples for 40 days, but one day he told them, I want you to go to one other mountain, and that was to the Mount of Olives. And they did, and here they were on the Mount of Olives. And really, as Krista and I were standing on Mount of Olives, we recollected that Jesus spoke these words as we find them in Matthew 28. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and lo, I am with you. We like that verse. And sometimes we just quote that verse by itself. But as you go, I am with you. As you go preaching, as you go baptizing, lo, I am with you as you go. And as he was saying these words, suddenly there was liftoff. And they saw him rising. Didn't need any other propulsion but the power of God. There came the liftoff. And they were standing and gazing until two angels came. And you read that in Acts chapter 1. It said, men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus is coming back. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. where the Almighty has come down to tell me that, to remind me that today I am coming back. Just tell the folks I'm coming back while he was leaving. And soon and very soon, there's a chorus that is in some of the books, I shall see the Lord. Soon and very soon. What about if it were tomorrow? What about it? Back to Psalm 121. While we still walk in the valley, while we still trot along on the sod, as we read in Psalm 23, sometimes the valleys get quite dark, don't they? In verse 3, it says, I will not allow your foot to stumble or to be moved. I will not allow your foot to stumble or to be moved in different translations. I've seen a few people that come with canes this morning, and that helps us not to stumble. Is that right, folks? And there are so many other things that help us that we don't stumble and fall. Yeah, we need crutches, don't we? But the Lord says, the Almighty said, tell the people that I will be there so you wouldn't stumble. But stumbling we do sometimes. And I must admit that sometimes, even through the day, and I drive down and somebody cuts me off, and there I'm stumbling already. It was Fanny Crosby. She has written more songs than any other hymn writer, including the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Fanny, when she was a child, she had very poor eyesight. But the parents had heard that in New York there is a doctor that could operate. They saved all the money to take young Fanny to this doctor. And he operated, and the operation didn't go well. And Fanny turned totally blind. Some day later, somebody asked her, Fanny, would you still like to see? And she said, no, I don't want to be disappointed. What she saw while she was blind may be something that you and I have not seen yet. God leads, I will not allow your foot to stumble. Verse 5, it says, and the Lord is your shade at your right hand. And sometimes I puzzle the way it always talks about the right hand. What about the left hand? Some I see write with the left hand, while I write with the right hand, but if I should take the hammer and try to pound a nail in it, I'm sure it's going to go crooked. And my dad watched and he said, son, I can't watch you. Well, if I want to pound a nail in, I have to use the hammer in the left hand. Otherwise, they'll never go in. But why does it say here that the Lord is the shade at your right hand? If I remind you of Jonah, God provided a shade for him. But here it says in Psalm 121, the Lord is your shade. Now what makes a shade? You need two things. You need a sun, you need a light, and an object that makes a shade, correct? The Lord is the shade, but he is a shade at your right hand. Why is that? And most of the days, and I think there was also this Sunday, that when you come into the church, as soon as you open the door, there's somebody there that stretches out the right hand and says, "Welcome to Fort George Baptist Church. We're so glad that you've come." Is that right? You know, that is the promise here. The God Almighty is the shade at your right hand as you welcome somebody. He makes his presence already known, and this is why I think that even the greeters at the door are part of the worship team. The first impression of the church is as you enter in, and those are at the door. God bless all those greeters. He is a shade at your right hand as you seek fellowship with brothers and sisters or friends. There's one other thing that you all do here in this church with the right hand at times. And you have heard this, all in favor, raise your right hand, correct? It was last year in September that the moderator of the church and the pastor stood in the front, and they called both of us to the front. And the pastor said a few words, and then the moderator said, "The Schlocks want to be members of this church, all in favor? Raise your right hand." But one thing he didn't do, opposed, same sign. That's what it says in the Robert's Book of Rules, doesn't it, brother? Well, why doesn't he say all of any opposed, same sign? Well, he takes for granted some things, doesn't he, Brother John? Folks, it means to me, the Lord is very near when you stretch out your hand to your friends. Who are they? The Lord is very near when you make decisions. What decisions do you have to make? Maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after. He is the And as the shade comes upon you, you know that the Lord is so very near. And that brings me to verse 7. The Lord shall preserve your soul. Or in other translations, NIV, he shall preserve your life. What is life worth in our days? So much debate is in Parliament about life, the unborn, or the elderly, or those who cannot make decisions for themselves, and euthanasia, and all of these decisions. The Lord shall watch over your life, and he shall preserve your life. Sometimes when we visit folks in the senior homes, and I did that here, I regularly served in all the senior homes for years, and I did the same in Calgary. And the thinking was, these folks have so much company because all these people are. You can be amongst the hundreds of people, you still can still be lonely. But God is there. He will preserve your soul or your life. And that brings me to the last verse, and I probably am over time here. In the NIV in verse 8, if you have your Bible in front of you, you can look it up. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forever. The New King James reads it the other way around. The Lord shall preserve you going out and your coming in. Either way, first it says when you go out and come in, or where you come in and then you go out. The Lord will watch over you as you come and as you go. The Lord has watched over you, maybe in young years, as you have come. You have come to the front, maybe in the church. You have come to accept the Lord, but you have gone. And that reminds me of Luke chapter 15. A father had two sons, and the younger one said, "Dad, I want to go and I want to see the world. Just give me what's coming to me." And the father didn't argue with him, and he gave him his portion, and he went to see the world. But soon he ran out of funds. Then he came to himself. As he was going out, the father was watching. But he was watching until he came back. As you are going out and as you're coming in, the Lord Almighty is watching. Folks, isn't that good? He is watching over you. I'm asking you this morning, are you coming or going? Which direction are you heading? Remember, the Father in heaven is still watching you. Therefore, help is on the way. I lift up mine eyes where my help is coming from, while tomorrow I have to go out to work or whatever, to school. The God Almighty is watching over you now and forevermore. Isn't that good? Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you. As we lift up our eyes this morning, we pray, O God, that we see him crucified, loving us and being with us. Thank you that we can trust you and follow you. Amen.